use our imagination. You have to see yourself in victory. Whatever situation you're dealing with, listen a minute, whatever situation you're dealing with, you have to see yourself on the other side. You have to see yourself in victory. How would I act? How would I behave? What would I do? You have to begin to imagine those things. And we're going to see why in a few moments. And tonight we won't be very long. Go to Joshua, the fifth chapter. This is going to be very key. Joshua, fifth chapter. Joshua, the fifth chapter, we'll start at verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as a captain of the Lord of hosts, of the Lord, am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship him and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground, is holy, rather. And Joshua did so. Other words, holy ground. Now, let's set this up, because I want you to see how important the imagination is. Here it is. Joshua is there. They're on the other side of Jericho. They're getting ready to they know God has promised them Jericho. You got to remember, Joshua was one of the 12 that went over and seen what was in Jericho. So he knows what's over there. All right. He knows what's in there. He the one that came back, him and Caleb came back and told Moses, we are well able to possess this land. And so you got all this information is in Joshua's head, in his mentality. He knows what's over there. He knows God promised him Jericho, the land flowing milk and honey. He knows all this. And here he is. He faces this angel from God and watch the angel tell him, loose thy shoes, for the ground thou standest on is holy. So we're looking at Joshua is now in a holy place. He's in the presence of God because it's a holy place. All right. I want you to see this. This is spiritual. It's supernatural. Now go to chapter 6, verse 1. We just come out of the establishment of a holy place. All right, so we consider that spiritual, right? Now, here it is, chapter 6, verse 1. Watch what it says. Now, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. All right, so here it is. Now, Joshua is facing a Jericho that's shut up. Nobody going out, nobody coming in. Just left from seeing an angel of the Lord. Angel of the Lord gives them instructions. I'm trying to set this up as clear because I want you to see how important imagination is. So now we get now in the midst of the whole, being in the midst of this holy ground, the sixth chapter, first verse, now brings up that Jericho is straightly shut up. Nobody going in, nobody going out because of the children of Israel. So it looked like a dire situation. God has promised them this land. Joshua knows this. He's seen what was over there. But yet he sees this barrier, this wall, these people on the wall wide enough to carry two chariots side by side. Then they shut it down. Nobody going in, nobody coming out because the children of Israel are there. Verse 2. Then the Lord said unto Joshua. Then the Lord said unto Joshua. Joshua's in a holy place. God has showed him. He's seen his situation. And God tells him, watch this, to see. See, I have delivered, past tense, Jericho into your hands, along with his king and his fighting men. Now, we like to jump to verse 3, but there's a lot happened in verse 2 before verse 3 existed. Joshua had to use his imagination to see God giving them Jericho. He had to see it because God talked in past tense. God say, see, I have given you Jericho. So what are you saying? I need you to use your imagination and see that I've given you Jericho. So what that means, that in the midst of this supernatural place, in this holy ground, listen to me, internet, in this holy place where the ground is holy, his shoes are off, he's bowed down, then God comes up and tell him, I need you to see I've given you Jericho. So in other words, God would say, I need you to use your imagination and see Jericho as a conquered place. So Joshua had to literally be on the ground and literally imagine, shut his eyes and begin to imagine them in Jericho. Imagine them conquering Jericho. I don't know how many ways come through Joshua's mind, but he had to see themselves conquering Jericho. He had to see themselves being given the king. He had to see it. He had to use his imagination. Now, why is that so important? Because now we go into verse 3. Verse 3 says, march. Now, watch this. This is crazy. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear the trumpets sound a long blast, have all the people give out a shout, and then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in. Now, with those instructions, hope you're listening, internet. With those instructions, if he had not imagined them having Jericho, they'd have never followed the instructions. His imagination positioned him and put him in a place to where God can give him instructions to do it. Are you seeing this? Without seeing, you won't follow instructions. If your imagination is not lined up properly, no matter what God tells you, you ain't gonna do it. Why? Because you have never seen it. So you would not be convinced to follow instructions. Do you know the word, do you know believing is not so much what God does, but it's what you do? God knows who he is. God knows what he can do. But the question is, can you be convinced that he can do it? Go with me to Mark. Mark the 9th chapter. Mark the 9th chapter, the 23rd verse. Jesus made a statement to this gentleman that had this child with this spirit in him. In Mark 9:23, Jesus made a very powerful statement, which I think, not only I think, but I know it has something to do with our imagination. Jesus said this in Mark 9:23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If thou canst be convinced, all things are possible to him that is convinced. Other words, whenever you become convinced of something, that's when God can give you the instructions or move on your behalf. Because remember now, God cannot do anything in the earth realm until we give him permission to do so. So if we're not convinced and we don't have a clue as to what's going on, we're not sure if it's going to happen. We don't know. We're not steady about it. We're not really sure. Then that means we're not giving God permission to come be God in our lives in the natural. What God was doing for Joshua, because remember now, Joshua knew that God had promised him the land. He had seen the rewards of the land. But God did not give him instructions until he saw the land conquered. That was Joshua using his imagination. So without your imagination, there's a lot of things that can't happen in your life. Whatever you want in your life, you have to see it. All that what the instructions that God gave Joshua is still relevant for today. You have to see it. I didn't say you have to do it. I didn't say you had to do it. I just say you got to see it. Once you see it, then God can show you how to do it. Are you seeing this? That's all Jesus was saying. Jesus say, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with his Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And the way Jesus helped his unbelief was by doing something about the situation. His imagination was involved. Even this guy. Because he wouldn't have come out there if he didn't see his son being delivered. Is this making sense? In the midst of it being in a holy place, God stopped Joshua and said, before I go any further, I need you to see this. I need you to see yourself conquering this land. I need you to see yourself. I need you to see the children of Israel being in this, the milk and honey that you saw flowing, the grapes that you saw earlier, you and Caleb saw. I need you to see yourselves having those grapes. He saw other people with them. But God said, I need you to see yourself with him. When he began to see himself, that's when God gave him the instructions to do it. So your imagination is important. That's why he said, cast down every imagination that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Not all, just the ones that try to tell you what you can't have. You have to cast down the imagination that tells you what you can't do. You have to cast down the imagination that tells you you're not going to win. Because if you're not convinced, God can talk to you till you blue in your face. You ain't going to do none of the instructions. Why? Because you haven't seen yourself delivered. You haven't seen yourself in victory. You haven't seen yourself prosper. You haven't seen yourself healthy. So if you haven't seen those things, then God give you all the instructions in the world. You're not going to do them. Why? Because you're not convinced. Why? Because you can't see it. Genesis, the 11th chapter, we're closing here. The imagination is so powerful that God did not touch the imagination of these people. He touched their ability to communicate. He didn't touch their imagination. He touched their ability to communicate. Watch what he does. Genesis 11th chapter. Watch this. And the whole earth was one language and of one speech. Verse 1. And it came to pass they journeyed from the east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city, and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Now watch verse 7. He said, go to, let us
go down and therefore confound their imagination.
That ain't what he said. He messed with their language. Your imagination is God-given, and it's so important to you walking in faith that God did not want to set a precedent. He messed with their language and their ability to communicate, and he left their imagination intact. You see that? He said they will be able to do everything they imagined to do. So he said, let us go down and confuse their language. Let's halt their ability to communicate, but we're going to leave their imagination intact. Because your imagination is important. Now, this is not no psychological self-motivation, willing it into being. No, none of that. That's not what I'm talking about. All I'm saying is putting yourself in a position that when God speaks, you obey. Put yourself in a position that when God speaks, you're convinced. People always tell me, I believe God. I'm in faith. I believe God. I'm full of faith. Okay, no problem. I'll find out if you're in faith or not. When crisis hit, what's the next step you make? We'll be able to tell whether you're convinced, whether you're in faith. The next thing you do. That's how we find out a person in faith. Okay, something happens. What's the next thing you do? And that's how you know if people are in faith or not. Do they panic and go berserk, lose their mind? Well, I automatically tell you they wasn't in faith. Or do they begin to consult God on what to do? God came down and saw their mindset and refused to mess with their minds. He dealt with their language. That's very important. Because God could have easily erased their minds. But because he gave us the imagination, he didn't want to mess with the imagination. He knew how, God knows how powerful the imagination is. If you can see it, then God can give you the instructions to do it. I'm not talking about fantasy. I'm not talking about, all right, let me give you the difference between a fantasy and a dream. Imagination always calls you to dream. But there's a difference between dreams and fantasy. You want to know the difference? Because a lot of people have fantasies and don't realize it. They have fantasies thinking it's dreams. Here's the difference between a dream and a fantasy. Listen to me, Internet. You'll never forget this. The difference between a dream and a fantasy is that a dream will always come with instructions to begin. A fantasy never has instructions to begin. That's the difference. A dream always have instructions to begin and instructions on how to get there. A fantasy never has those. That's the difference between a dream and a fantasy. A dream has a starting point. A fantasy doesn't. Closing with this statement. The imagination is very powerful. The development of our imagination does two things for us. It increases the borders of our minds, and it breaks mental limitations. The imagination is very powerful. The development of the imagination does two things for us. Hope you're listening, Internet. It increases the borders of our mind, and it breaks mental limitations. Exams are next week. Your instructors will be sure to give you what to study on. Of course, our exam will be on
on chapter, what I told you, what chapter is it? Chapter 7. It'll be open book, and exams will be next week during the Thanksgiving holidays. And so we'll have class tomorrow. We'll have class next week, and then we'll come back the following Monday after Thanksgiving and have class. Thank you all, and you all have a great night.